Yo, it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night and a two-run homer for Baez. And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Donna goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling, 25-20. Got a block for Brown. 50, 10, 5. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Don't win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it. And he is going to get a first down. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh, my goodness.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. The player inside Craywood, too. He did it. He did it. Steamboat's like Russell. And Blair has done it. Blair has done it.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up, what's up? And welcome in. You're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights at 7 here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. On the ride home, we're on an hour early here at 6 o'clock. We're glad that you're with us. We'll open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood, as well as Instagram, IGJHood. On the program tonight, we will hear from a two-time Super Bowl champion, analyst for the Big Ten Network, friend of the program, Howard Griffith, will be with us at the bottom of the hour here on ESPN 1000. Also, we'll go to the desert and hear from Jesse Rogers, who covers the Cubs for ESPN.com. We'll get his thoughts about the Cubs and the Diamondbacks. We'll hear from him coming up at 7:30. Also, we'll get a preview, an early preview of the Bears and the Arizona Cardinals. A friend of mine, Bob Kemp, from NBC Sports Radio in Phoenix will be with us because he covers Arizona sports like a blanket for that fine outfit. We will hear from Bob coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. We're with you until 8:30, then we have Major League Baseball for you, so that's why I'm on here on your ride home here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Keep that phone number in mind. You'll need it tonight. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Hope that you enjoyed your Wednesday. Hope that you enjoy your Wednesday night as we are with you until Major League Baseball 8:30 right here on ESPN 1000. So much to get to here in our abbreviated show that we have here tonight. So let me get right at it here and talk a little bit about the Bears. You know, I'm thinking about where we are watching the Bears so far this season. Coming into the season, the roster was filled with a lot of what-ifs versus what is tangible for us to recognize with this Bears team. The what-ifs before Khalil Mack was traded to Chicago were the following. For me, one of the what-ifs was Roquan Smith. After a long holdout and no preseason games, how much of a factor could he be as a rookie for this football team? I saw every snap of Roquan Smith as a Georgia fan, so I know that this guy can really, in the future, be a difference maker for this football team, because I just think that if you even go back to the bowl game, the last bowl game that that Georgia played, even the national championship game, there was so many times where you saw Roquan Smith really make some quality plays on the field, and I think that Roquan can be a guy. But again, before Khalil Mack got here, there was question marks about what Roquan Smith could be for this football team. Another question coming in before Khalil Mack was traded to the Bears was, can Leonard Floyd take it to another level? Another question mark because, again, watching him at Georgia, I never thought that Leonard Floyd was a great player. I didn't think that more times than not he was the reason why certain plays took place. I think he was always part of the play, but not necessarily the initiator of that play. So Leonard Floyd taking it to another level, I look forward to seeing what that's going to look like for this year. Now he's going to start off the season with a club, and you know, again, it's still part of an evaluation to see what Leonard Floyd is going to be. And then, of course, with new paper, can Kyle Fuller be the cornerback that can lead the secondary? So he gets a new contract, and we saw more times than not last year Kyle Fuller play well enough to be able to earn a new contract with the Chicago Bears. And so I think it's going to be hit or miss with Kyle Fuller. I don't expect him to have like Fuller Island or some shutdown corner. I don't know if he's going to be that guy, but he has room for improvement, just like all these Bears players on this roster. But the question mark I had is, you know, what can Kyle Fuller be for this football team in the secondary? And then you wonder about newcomers like Allen Robinson II and Trey Burton and Taylor Gabriel, how much they can help this offense, because you remember last year, many people wanted to judge Mitch Trubisky, the quarterback for this football team, based on what we saw last year. And I stand firm to tell you that it's unfair to judge what Trubisky is based on last year because of that JV offense that they were running last year. You looked at some of those players, and it was hard to determine, okay, with these players that are guys that wouldn't even be on your fantasy team, some of these players, they're out there trying to put together an offense under John Fox as he was holding his job together. And it's just like, this doesn't look great. And now you see Trubisky in this spot, and we'll talk about him as we move forward, but now he has Trey Burton. He's got Taylor Gabriel. He's got Allen Robinson to try to help this offense. We talk about the Bears with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Other questions before Matt got here was wondering about Jordan Howard. Can Jordan Howard be a viable receiver when needed to catch the ball in the flat in the green zone and run the football effectively? The biggest bugaboo on Jordan Howard, and you saw the games like I saw them, so what I'm telling you is no surprise, right? So Jordan Howard had a hard time, especially in the green zone, being able to catch the football. An opportunity to score, and sometimes Howard was not there. So many opportunities for Howard to be able to be a threat throwing, you know, catching the football, and it just didn't work out. So again, that's a question mark that I think I have, and probably you had as well. And so far, so good on that front when it comes to Jordan Howard catching the football and trying to be an effective running back. I said this to start the season, and I still stand by it. If Jordan Howard could be Thomas Jones, if Jordan Howard could be Neil Anderson, if he could be just someone solid, don't expect Pro Bowl performances and Pro Bowl years from Jordan Howard year in and year out. But if he could be a solid running back that you can utilize, kind of like in that Raymond Harris role in which how the ultra back was able to catch the ball, be able to run the football some, and if he's able to be even that good, I'll take it in this offense. And then the other thing I was wondering about before Khalil Mack got here was some of the new wrinkles that we could see from Tariq Cohen in this offense. We talk about hit or miss, right? Sometimes you just want to be able to grab Tariq Cohen, the little guy, by the shoulder pads and say, no, don't catch it on the four. Don't catch it on the four, bruh. And then sometimes he's able to really sprint out and really make a difference as far as the special teams are concerned, and also being able to make others miss because of his size, lack of size, I guess, in some ways, because of his speed. And so already through the first couple of games of the season, we've seen him be able to have some nice returns from special teams and also be able to run the football, especially in that first half against the Packers. And of course, the huge question is about Mitch Trubisky, right? Because what makes the NFL go round and round? What makes it go around is offense and the quarterback. Show me a team with a quarterback that can get it done, and I'll show you a team that has a chance to win the Super Bowl. It's one thing to just have just a pedestrian quarterback, but if someone that can be able to elevate an offense, I'll show you a guy that can win multiple division championships, can get an over 500 record, and have a chance for Vince Lombardi's trophy. So here's what I do know about the Bears. Again, we talk about the question marks, right? Well, here's what I do know about the Bears at this point. Through the first couple of games of the season and a 1-1 record, there's still some questions about the team, but not necessarily in a harsh way, not in a demeaning way, but just with a critical eye. Because with you and I watching the Bears and watching this team, I think we have to take a look at them with a critical eye and that type of point of view. So when it comes to Mitch Trubisky, you and I both know that the Bears as a franchise have been bereft of a quality long-term answer that's paid dividends at quarterback. On one hand, in my lifetime, I could think of Jim McMahon and Eric Kramer and Jim Miller and Jay Cutler and Kyle Orton, maybe Vince Evans, maybe. The point is that there is no Matt Ryan, no Aaron Rodgers, no Tom Brady, no Philip Rivers, no prolific quarterback that has set the world on fire offensively, historically, with this Bears team. You've seen it, I've seen it. But with Trubisky, he just played his 14th game as a pro, and he had 13 starts as a quarterback in North Carolina. So in this new offense, I don't expect him to be an all-pro off the bat. I know I did the Ultimate Post Game Show when the game was over on Monday night, and I took phone calls from Bears fans across the country. And I think there is this feeling that Mitch Trubisky should be Pat Mahomes, or he should be Deshaun Watson, or he should be one of these young and up, or Sam Darnold, one of these up and coming quarterbacks in the NFL. And what I will tell you is that I thought I saw like a B plus, B minus, C plus at the very least effort from the offense on Monday night, with a lot of room for improvement. I think that it's an excuse, and I think it's an excuse to look at some of these other players, these other quarterbacks in the NFL that are flourishing and really playing well, and think that that's what Trubisky should be. Maybe Trubisky will be that, but just not right away. And I'm willing, by the way, and patient enough to find out what this offense is going to be about, because here's one thing I do know. This offense will be better than last year, or the last 3, 4, or 5 years, and the reason why is because it was under John Fox, is because they've had so much turnover with the offensive coordinator. Now you have a guy with a full menu in front of him as a head coach in Matt Nagy that's going to be able to set certain plays up and try to make Trubisky better. It's an excuse, you know, for some, but I think it's a fact. There are so many new and moving parts with this football team offensively, especially with the head coach Joe Madden. Matt Nagy. More on Madden Light in just a moment, by the way. But Trubisky wasn't great, and he has to be more comfortable in his own skin and in his own uniform with this offense. And I think that we can see that as we move forward here, because if we don't, now you have a question. Now you have some issues, because you want to be able to see how this offense can grow. But the idea that he should be Kansas City's Pat Mahomes, or he should be Deshaun Watson, I mean, whatever he's going to be Mitch Trubisky. And so that's all going to be predicated on what Matt Nagy and what Mark Helfrich can do to be able to elevate this offense that's already has some talent on it. But now how are you able to enhance that talent? We're talking about the Bears with Jonathan Hood. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweet Jay Hood. So here's some thoughts from Matt Nagy from today's press conference. Before the practice, Nagy spoke to the media. He talked about how this ball club, the Bears, need to be able to start building some momentum on the victory.
Just like last week where it was coming off of a difficult loss, now the team is feeling good in the fact that we got to win. And so sometimes when you have that, you know, with bad teams, complacency sinks in. And that's not what we want. So we want our guys to continue to stay hungry, to realize how important it is to stack wins on top of each other. So I want good practices. I want everybody to be sharp, focused. And understand that that again, we preach it all the time. The parity in this league is so great, and you know, every game is close. So we gotta keep this mental focus, and make sure that we carry this momentum, this slight momentum that we have into this third week.
Joe Madden Light, Matt Nagy, the head coach for the Chicago Bears. Every soundbite I see on my screen is like a minute or a minute five or 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes. He loves to explain. He loves to be able to have those long thoughts about the team that can be somewhat refreshing, or that can be somewhat Trestman, because Trestman was an explainer too. He was a Bear explainer. He loved to Bear explain his offense and the ineptitude of that offense and the ineptitude of the football team in long form, until he started getting belligerent and started cutting off his thoughts and started getting angry. And then, of course, he was let go. Hopefully, this is going to be a different situation. But Trubisky, as I mentioned, wasn't great, and he's got to be more comfortable in his own skin. And so going to theathletic.com and reading what they had to say about the quarterback, They said that Trubisky twice overthrew receivers before the Burton touchdown. One was nullified by a Seahawks penalty. He badly overshot Taylor Gabriel down the field on the next drive, and then he underthrew Allen Robinson down the sideline. It was intercepted by Shaquille Griffin on that drive after that. The next time he had the ball, he was picked again by Griffin. This one off of the deflected pass, and he was frightfully close to giving up 100-yard pick six in the waning seconds of the first half. When he wildly retreated from the 7-yard line before making an ill-advised pass into traffic in the corner of the end zone. He bailed so quickly on some of those plays that he didn't have time to get happy feet. Nagy sounded certain that Trubisky looked uncertain and downright panicky at times. And as Trubisky has said, Trubisky said that coach keeps saying that it's going to be a process, we want immediate results, but finding ways to win is very important, and we did that. And I love that positivity in that quote from him, but I also like the analysis from TheAthletic.com where they saw what you and I saw, in that as much as you may have a jersey of Trubisky and you're rooting for Trubisky to be able to flourish in this offense, make sure that we understand now that it's not going to be a perfect product, because Trubisky's learning, just like Matt Nagy's learning, just like this offense is learning to be able to play together. And so he goes on to say that that's where the Bears are in this process as far as building confidence, building trust, building momentum. With a defense that looks like it can win games on its own, the Bears don't need Trubisky to be lighting up the scoreboard the way Mahomes and Watson does. The two quarterbacks against whom Trubisky will always be measured, no matter the experience, no matter the weapons, no matter the coach's play-calling prowess. Well, I totally understand that because of the draft class, because of how highly touted that Watson was and Mahomes was coming out of college. People look at this kid from North Carolina and say, will he be as good? Again, time will tell on it. But the idea that I'm going to judge him now and say what he is now, I think is unfair. So speaking of the head coach, by the way, speaking of Matt Nagy, who loves to be able to explain what is going on with his football team. And again, it can be refreshing, but also it can be a lot of bear-splaining where he's going to be talking so much that you're wondering, okay, he knows what he's talking about. Is he giving away too much information? Is he too open? I think those are question marks that you can ask when it comes to Matt Nagy. Again, all of this is new for him, new for us, for him to be able to be so open and so positive, because you didn't get a lot of that from John Fox. So some thoughts here from Nagy talking about how he's becoming more comfortable as a play caller.
I felt better. I did. And so I think everyone's talking about Mitch right now and him growing in the offense. And so there's also the other side of it, which is with me being the play caller, when you can get into a rhythm, whether it's in Kansas City with the offense we had there with Coach Reed and him getting into a rhythm, or myself when I started calling plays, there's these we're going to have different plays that fit our offense. And so I'm learning that too. And there might be some plays that were just bread and butter in Kansas City that aren't bread and butter here, and that's okay. So I'm learning that. And once I start myself figuring that out, and then the quarterback starts figuring it out, and the players around and the wide receivers, and we start molding it all together like a piece of clay, then it'll start coming to fruition. So, yeah, I felt better than week one, and hopefully I continue to feel better every week.
Something else I know is that Khalil Mack is a game changer, is he not? We've only just begun. The romance is not over, as Glenn Jones once sang, between Mack and Bears fans. When you are one of the best players in the National Football League, let alone the NFC, you make an impact, and that's exactly what Mack has done. And if you watched the game last Monday night, you saw how Khalil Mack makes Hicks better, Goldman better, Trevathan better, Eddie Jackson better. What I do know is that this defense has a potential to be a top 5 or top 10 defense if healthy. Too many guys and too many players that can provide pressure or get to the quarterback. There are more things that I'm sure about with Vic Fangio's defense than I am with the offense at this point in time. And for Nagy, he's already using the disco ball a la Madden, by the way. Have you seen this? He's got the disco ball up. I can already tell that he wants his team loose, and I really like that. I like that a lot. He gives us more detail to what he's thinking with this team and the offense, of course. He's learning to be a head coach, just like Trubisky's trying to learn how to be a pro. And they're in this together, and hopefully they can be able to learn together moving forward. as we talk about the Bears with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. By the way, let me get on to this, too, before we hit SportsCenter. Jimmy Butler, have you read this today? This came across my phone earlier this afternoon about Jimmy Butler. Adrian Wojnarowski had this on ESPN.com. Former Bull Jimmy Butler is requesting a trade out of Minnesota, and his three preferred destinations are the Brooklyn Nets, L.A. Clippers, and the New York Knicks. Butler wants a trade to a team that plans to sign him to a five-year maximum contract that could be worth $190 million in the summer. $190 million in the summer, and his list could expand based on the Timberwolves and rival teams' willingness to negotiate a trade for him. Great. Jimmy wants out of Minnesota. You know, I will tell you this. If no one else has told you this today, I will be the first to tell you. You know, some guys are built to lead, and some guys are just built to just want to be able to just recreate and play basketball and just be part of the NBA culture. Jimmy Butler had an opportunity with that young core of Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, along with those other former Bulls and veterans on that team, had an opportunity to help lead that team. See, Wiggins and Towns together could not be able to get it done as a young core because Wiggins, from what I understand from my sources in Minnesota, he's good at two things, basketball and playing video games, and nothing in between. I guess that's okay, but when you are paid a ton of money to be a franchise-changing player, that's not necessarily happening with Wiggins, and Karl-Anthony Towns is a top 10, top 15 talent in the NBA. But the veteran presence, I think, helps because it's always good to have old heads in there. And I'm not saying that Derrick Rose is that guy, but Jimmy Butler could have definitely was trying to help that team. Somehow the Timberwolves just barely got into the playoffs because they beat Denver in that last game to qualify to be the eighth seed in the Western Conference. My point is that Jimmy could stay in Minnesota where he loves his country music and loves to play basketball. But see, I think that Minnesota in Minneapolis, St. Paul, I guess the spotlight's not big enough for him. And for his wish list, this is Jimmy Butler's wish list. The Knicks, Clippers, and Nets. Now, I'll say this briefly, that don't be surprised the next two or three years that New York becomes a destination for free agents, maybe led by Kyrie Irving. Let's keep our eyes on that, by the way, because that very well could be the case where free agents are going to look at New York and say, well, maybe that's a place we can be able to set up shop and help my off-the-court business and help my on-the-court business. So keep your eyes on that for the future. So I just Jimmy Butler, I saw that, and I just shook my head. I said, boy, what a surprise. Jimmy wants out of Minnesota. It's getting too hot because he can't lead those two young guys, Wiggins and Towns, in Minnesota. Coming up after SportsCenter, we'll hear from Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network, getting his thoughts about if there's another win for the Illini in the near future, and also how he looks at the Big Ten. He works with the Big Ten Network. Boy, what a terrible weekend for the Big Ten. Can they recover? We talk about that next as you're listening to Under the Hood.
Jonathan Hood.
I'm so hood.
On ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
On the ride home, it's Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood. Also on Instagram, IGJHood. Glad you're with us here as we are with you till 8:30. Then we got Major League Baseball for you here on this Wednesday night on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Don't forget, by the way, the Chicago's College Tailgate takes place every Saturday right here on ESPN 1000. If you're a college football fan, for a college football conversation, we have a college football show hosted by Chris Black, Adam Abdallah, and yours truly. That'll be a podcast-only broadcast this upcoming Saturday. We'll let you know when it drops, but all you got to do is just follow me on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood. Also, at ESPN 1000 CCT for Chicago's College Tailgate, and you'll be able to listen to that podcast as we get closer to the weekend as we turn now to a two-time Super Bowl champion, a man who covers the Big Ten like a blanket for the Big Ten Network. He's Howard Griffith, and he's with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Howard Jonathan Hood, thanks so much for your time.
You know, anytime, Hoodie, how are you?
I'm doing very well. You know, it's a smile on my face because it is college football season. It's football season in general, but college football season in particular. And, man, let me tell you, as you sit there with Coach DiNardo and you're covering college football and you're seeing the Big Ten just taking a whooping last week. I mean, what stood out? What stood out about that Big Ten this past weekend?
That's exactly what stood out. Took it on the chin a little bit. You know, you look at the Badgers giving up 191 yards on the ground to BYU, a BYU team that the year before they, you know, really went out and dominated. I think this is a much better BYU team than obviously they faced last year. You look at Illinois playing against a good team and, you know, kind of playing toe-to-toe with them. In the end of the game, they blow a coverage that, you know, it's unexplainable how they blow that coverage and they're unable to come up with the victory. So, you know, there are a lot of games out there that, you know, Big Ten took it on the chin. But you look at a team like Purdue who went toe-to-toe with Mizzou and still couldn't find a way to get over the hump. So it was one of those weeks. Hopefully this upcoming week will be a whole lot better.
I'm going to say something that's going to be unpopular for some, especially in Evanston when it comes to Northwestern. Howard, how many times do people come to you and just kind of give you that side eye when it comes to Northwestern? Because it's one thing to be a Coach Fitz fan and like the program that he's built. However, that effort, and by the way, the Duke loss does not surprise me. I know that's a good Duke team, so that doesn't surprise me. But the Akron loss, I thought was very disappointing, especially for a Northwestern program who I thought grew up a little bit, that could be able to lick their chops against a tough Duke team and then get it done against Akron. I think it's unacceptable the way they started off for a team that is supposed to make some noise in the Big Ten.
In the West, particularly. They're supposed to come out and, you know, obviously I don't think Clayton Thorson's cool to be 100% just yet. When you look at that loss to Akron, you know, we've seen this before. That's the only thing I would say, is that we've seen this out of Patrick Dale's teams, and he's found a way to rally the troops and get things back on track, and in some instances, still been able to have a 10-win season. So I'm still waiting to see what's going to happen, because I've kind of seen this narrative before. So I want to see, can he get things corrected and get them back on track? That can happen, but you know, obviously, you know, you lose to a MAC team, that's an issue, because that's a MAC team that you, without question, have better players than. So it comes down to the execution of the game plan. And how about this? You go late into that game, and Akron tried to give them the game again.
Yes.
So Bowden throw a pass at the end. It gives the ball back to Northwestern. It's like, whoa, what's going on here? You know, it's been tough. It really has been tough for the conference. But, you know, as I said from the very beginning, it really still is Ohio State and everybody else is chasing them, whether that's Penn State. I think they've got a lot of growing up to do as far as on the defensive side, but I think they can do that. Whether it's Michigan, we don't know what we're getting out of them just yet. They lose to Notre Dame early, and then all of a sudden it looks like they've got their offense on track. But, again, it's against inferior talent, so we don't know. At least I'm going to still take that wait-and-see approach to see what they're going to do against teams that are ranked. The ranked opponents is where Michigan has had their struggles with over the last 4 to 5 years.
The Illinois loss against South Florida, as I talked to you before the season, you told me that would be maybe a hiccup for Illinois because that's a good South Florida team, and I agreed. I'm surprised at how close it was. It wasn't like the Illinois had this great home field advantage. I just think that Illinois played them tough. So what's the next win for Illinois in the schedule?
Wow. I mean, things get really difficult when you start to look at, you know, what's left for them. You know, they've got a tough matchup. When you think about even this week having to go to Penn State, then you look, they got to go to Rutgers. So, you know, that's a team that they should have equal talent to, match up opponents. Then Purdue, Wisconsin, that Wisconsin's going to be difficult. Maryland will be more talented, but you don't know what you're going to get out of that team. So I think you're probably looking at a road win or a possible road win when they have an opportunity to go to Rutgers for that next victory, because it could get tough. This thing could snowball now. This was great for them to play as well as they did against South Florida, but now they have to go to Penn State for a night game, and then they have the open week, but then they come back with Rutgers and Purdue, and a Purdue team that's been close for the first 3 weeks, but is still 0-3.
Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. The crowd at Soldier Field did not surprise me because this still is a building program for Illinois. Did it surprise you that that crowd could not fill the United Center?
Well, it didn't surprise me, and here's why. The last time they went Soldier Field, you know, whether it was emails, parties, tailgates, invitations were flying all over the, you know, the month before the game. And even a week before, people were having get-togethers, watch parties, and all those things. I didn't get those emails or text messages this time around. Oh. So I knew things wouldn't be even to the level that they were the last time they played at Soldier Field. So, you know, I knew that was going to be a struggle. But listen, as you know, you have to be able to put a winning product on the field. People have to be excited about the product that's going out there. And right now, that's not where, you know, I think the fan base ultimately is. It's taking more of that wait-and-see approach. You know, are they a better football team than they were last year? I think without question they are. Rod Smith, I think, is going to do an unbelievable job with them offensively down there. They still gave up over 600 yards last week to South Florida. Last year they gave up 680. So they did improve on that, although giving up 600 is never a good thing. So I think it's going to be incremental steps. And, again, even a lot of the guys that they played last year, some of those guys have still not played this year for discipline reasons. So they don't have a full complement of even the guys that they need to have on that roster. Couple that with a few people like Pat Nelson, who's now at SMU, one of the top tacklers there now. Trey Watson, who's out at Maryland, their top tackler now. So they've lost some players, and they're expecting some freshmen and some young sophomores to be able to step up and help them. But it's still going to be a tough year for them, I still believe.
I'm circling Nebraska against Michigan at the Big House. I want to get your thoughts on that game. Before I ask you about how you look at it, I want to ask you about Nebraska, because as when you and I were coming up and watching college football as kids, we knew that Nebraska was a powerhouse. It was a must-watch. You had to find out what Nebraska was going to do. I want to know, based on what you know about Nebraska fans, do you think that it's more entitlement or just expectations? Because even with Coach Frost in place, it's still going to take some time for even Scott Frost to build on this. So is there more entitlement, or do you think that there is this expectation that, yes, Nebraska should be able to be on top of the Big Ten world?
Well, I'd first say that the fan support in Nebraska is really unwavering. Whether they're winning or whether they're losing, they are showing up in Lincoln. It's a passionate fan base. It's an intelligent fan base when it comes to college football. And they expect their own and Scott Frost to be able to come back and have a lot of success. Now, the challenge is they lost their quarterback last week. He was unable to play this week. Or 2 weeks ago, he's unable to play last weekend. That's what they need to be able to beat a team like Michigan. Martinez, I think, is the perfect fit for what Scott Frost wants to do. Unfortunately, he was injured against Colorado, and I'm not sure that Scott Frost really wants to run him out there against this Michigan football team, because it's an aggressive defense, and if you're sending out a player that still may not be 100%, it's probably not the best idea if you're still trying to win the West, which they can still do, even if they were to drop a game to Michigan, because that's a crossover game for them. Yes, it goes to the overall record, but not to the divisional West record. So everything's still in front of them, and they've got to get Martinez back for them to have a legitimate shot at being able to knock some of these teams off. But I agree with you, it's going to take some time, but they've got some talent over there. And in the offense that they're running now and the defense that they're running out onto the field now is much better, night and day, from where they were a year ago. So they can't make mistakes. There's no margin for error with this team. So they have to play perfect games each week, but it's even becomes more compounded when you only have one scholarship quarterback on your roster. Right now he's banged up.
What do you think of the matchup? How much of an uphill climb will it be for Nebraska to take on Michigan?
Be a huge uphill climb for them because, you know, defensively, listen, they're going to play man coverage outside and they are going to blitz, blitz, blitz. You know, Don Brown, that's what he wants to do. a young quarterback back there that doesn't have a lot of experience, and he's going to bring a kitchen sink at him. Now, the flip side of that is what's going to be able to happen from an offensive standpoint for Michigan. Now, they put up all kind of numbers. Shea Patterson has been playing really well. They finally threw a touchdown to a wide receiver a couple of weeks ago, which hadn't happened in over a year. So, you know, there's some things that people are excited about, you know, offensively. So I think you look at a team like Michigan, they can win the defensive battle. I think they have the edge there. Offensively, I have to give them the edge there right now because Martinez is not healthy. But this could still be a game that Nebraska could come away with a win if they're able to make some things happen in the special teams game. But it's going to be tough. They got to go on the road, and it's very difficult to go on the road and win at the Big House.
All right, I got one more, and I got a minute left, so I want to squeeze in Wisconsin-Iowa because that's going to be a big game we'll keep our eyes on Saturday night. How do you see the matchup with Wisconsin trying to bounce back against Iowa?
Yeah, it's going to come down to the line of scrimmage. Iowa last week, Nate Stanley, their quarterback, really had his coming-out party, really did a nice job. I thought they were really struggling to get the ball vertically down the field because, you know, they were trying to run it, but their people were loading the box, and they really hadn't had that explosion on the outside. Noah Fant, the tight end from Iowa, to me, he's probably one of the top tight ends in all of the country and is a legitimate first-round draft pick. You go back and you look at, you know, Wisconsin, you talk about that offensive line that can have so much experience on it. And Jonathan Taylor, they've got to run the ball, but they've had the same issue. They haven't been able to stretch the field, so teams have been able to load the box and really cause them problems. So I think this is ultimately a line-of-scrimmage game. If Jonathan Taylor can get going early against that Iowa defensive front, who's led by A.J. Epenesa, who's to me starting to come into his own as a defensive lineman, defensive end, was a former five-star. So I think it's going to be whoever was able to win the line of scrimmage. It's one of those games. I think it's going to be close. So I'd probably go ahead and give the edge right now to the Badgers, even though they're having to go on the road and play this game.
All right, my friend. As always, I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the show. Looking forward to this weekend of college action.
It'll be fun. Anytime, buddy. Take care.
It is Howard Griffith, the two-time Super Bowl champion from the Big Ten Network, with us here on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Don't forget, we will hear from Jesse Rogers coming up at 7:30 live with a report on the Cubs and the Diamondbacks. And I've got tickets. This hour, next hour, 8 o'clock, I got tickets for you. I'll tell you what they are coming up next right here on UTH.
You're listening to Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
I've got tickets to see Craig Ferguson, Hobo Fabulous. That's the Hobo Fabulous tour at the Genesee Theater on November 3rd. That's in Waukegan. Tickets on sale now at GenesseeTheater.com. Caller 2, regular line, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Howard Griffith was just on with us. He told us what he thinks the next win will be for the Illini. Do you remember the next win for the Illini? He said it toward the end of our interview. If you know, I got a pair of tickets to see Craig Ferguson at the Genesee Theater. If you want to go or win these tickets for someone else, November 3rd, call quickly. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. The next win for the Illini will be, according to Howard Griffith, blank. Tell us the team. We'll hook you up with tickets. Our way of saying thanks for listening to Under the Hood. My thoughts on the Cubs next as you're listening to Under the Hood.
As I combine all the juice from the mind, heal up, wheel up, bring it back, come rewind.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000